Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. And I'm going to go over it again with you from the Amplified Bible. It just expands a little bit. Is that all right this morning? This is about Jesus walking on the water. Verse 22 picks up and says, immediately he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he sent the crowds away. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened. And he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus extended his hand and caught him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. This morning we're talking on the subject, if you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. Do you believe that God can do all that his word says that he can? Do you have enough faith to actually believe this? If God told you to do something that seemed impossible, would you have faith enough to do it? Do you really believe that God can do what he says he can do? If God told you to lay your hands on a person who was suffering a compound fracture in their leg and declare they are healed, would you be able to do it without a doubt in your mind? If God told you to go to a place where there were 1,000 people and they were hungry and all you had was a value meal,
come on,
would you try to feed those folks and believe that they could be all fed? All right. If you were on a paddle boat on the Lehigh River and you saw Jesus walking on the shore and he said, "Get out of the boat and cross the water and come to me," would you get out of the boat?
Yes, would you get out?
Father, open our eyes so we can see your truth. Open our ears so we may hear your voice, and open our minds so we may understand your word. And God, open our hearts so we may receive all that you want us to receive this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 14, we have two accounts of the power that God has demonstrated through Christ. The first was the feeding of the 5,000. In this account, Jesus was teaching the people, but they were out of town and they were in a remote place, and it was getting late. So the disciples were getting hungry, and they suggested to Jesus that he wind it up and send these folks on their way so they could eat. Jesus told the disciples, "Go feed those people."
Come on,
and it caught them by surprise. See, they were thinking about themselves first. And Jesus said, "Feed them." But they could only see the problem that the situation presented. They didn't have any money or enough food to feed this large group of people. 5,000 men plus children and wives. So it's more like 10,000 in attendance. All they had were what? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So instead of doing what they asked, what was asked of them, they confronted him.
Come on.
With the problem. And they said, "Well, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough resources." And Jesus said, "Give them something to eat." Don't you know that if God gives you a mission, and he tells you to do something, he will supply all the needs that you have to make that come about. Restoration Temple is a mission that was put in my spirit.
Come on.
And you don't see 5,000 people here, but the lights are on. Amen.
Yes.
The Lord will provide what you need.
Yes.
He gives you a task.
Yes.
So he said, "Go and give them something to eat. Get your eyes off of what you have on what you can do
yes.
through Christ.
Yes.
He didn't want them to be concerned about how it was going to be done. He just wanted them to do it. We know that what happens after that, Jesus instructs everyone to sit down. He takes 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish in his hands. He looks up to his Father and he gives him thanks.
Yes.
And he starts breaking the bread and giving it to the disciples. And every time he breaks a piece off, a piece grows back.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing happened with the fish. And they fed the multitudes.
Yes,
not only did they feed everybody, there were 12 baskets left over.
That's right.
So what does that mean?
Not
only will he give you what you need, he will increase.
Yes, he will.
So you can do above and beyond.
Yes, he will.
This was the second time that Jesus has performed a miracle, and the disciples seem to have a memory problem with this. I believe sometimes we forget what God can do, and we forget what he's already done in our lives. And all we see is the problem that's in front of us. Their hearts were hard. They had to be. We don't want to admit it because we say, oh, the disciples were selected in them, but they were still fleshly men.
Yeah, they were.
They had to have a hard heart because they would have not questioned him.
That's right.
They had to completely opened up their lives to him. And most of the time we look at a person with a hard heart as a person who may not really like God or hate God, but that's not true.
Come on.
The word hardened, as it's used here, means callous, unyielding, or cold in spirit.
Yes.
You ever met a cold Christian?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Amen. Come on,
the disciples
come on.
Were not God haters, but they were so used to the natural world and its limitations that they were overwhelmed when Jesus gave them an impossible task. In other words, their hearts were hard as a result of the disciples not yielding their minds to the things of God. We have that same problem today, don't we? We don't completely yield our minds to God.
That's it.
We want a job, and something in our spirit says you're not qualified for that, even though you have the education.
Come on.
We suffer sometimes with addictions, whether they be drugs or alcohol or pornography or potato chips and Dr. Pepper, whatever it is, we suffer with things because we don't really believe that God has the sustaining power to take that from us. Our hearts become hardened. The disciples were not thinking about sinful things, but they were thinking about how they could help the situation themselves. He said, feed the people. We're getting to the boat. He said, feed the people. And all they saw was, well, we don't have the resources.
That's right.
What can we do? It wasn't that they didn't want to feed them. They just thought that they couldn't. So they thought to themselves, well, what can we do? How can we get, where can we go get some fish? Where can we go get some more bread? What are we going to do? And that's what we do as Christians. We come up against an impossible task. And instead of letting the Holy Spirit have his way, we say, well, gee, you know, I think I need to go back to school and I need to do this. Maybe I got a different car. I'm not ready to do that. I can't come to church yet because, you know, I got some things in my life that aren't right. We don't give it over to him. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit.
Come on, talk to me.
In other words, we have to get out of the boat. They were still thinking this way when they got into the boat after Jesus fed the multitudes. They were still thinking this way. Now they just saw a miracle. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd. Jesus does an awesome miracle of feeding all these people and then tells the disciples it's time to go and makes them get in the boat and cross over to the other side while they stay back.
Come on, talk to
them. Now that's a whole other message in itself.
He
did a great work and then he needed to be alone.
Uh-huh.
After service, don't bum rush me with stuff.
Come on.
Sometimes I just need to be alone. Sometimes you just need to be alone.
Amen.
After you've completed a task, after you have entered into worship, after you have had a visitation from the Holy Spirit, sometimes you just need to be alone.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
Every so often, you need to separate from the crowd.
Yeah, remember it.
The Sea of Galilee. Now, see, when we read, we got to understand what this stuff means.
Yeah.
Hear all the time about a stormy sea. We hear all the time about tossed and driven and being battered and stuff. But what does it really mean? The Sea of Galilee is known for violent storms. They come up suddenly and can be life-threatening.
Yes, they can.
They're caused by the cooler air masses from the surrounding mountains,
yeah,
which collide with the warm air in the basin at Galilee.
Yeah.
Winds sometimes funnel from east-west oriented valleys on the hillside, and they rush down over the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
And the most violent storms on this sea are caused by fierce winds which blow off the Golan Heights. I researched
this.
I thought, well, you know, were they just going like this in the boat? Or was the boat, you know, was it a thing?
Uh-huh.
But it says, without warning, in the Sea of Galilee, even to this day, storms rise quickly without notice,
right,
and waves raise as high as 9 feet minutes.
Uh-huh.
When you read the Bible, research some things, and then it makes more sense to you.
Yeah.
So Jesus put these men in a small boat about 27 feet long,
uh-huh,
and left them to the elements. Now, he knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
But he needed to be alone. It was time to get these men to start thinking and living not according to the laws of nature, but rather the supernatural laws of God.
Yeah.
So see, he knew what was in their heart. Can I tell you, he knows what's in our hearts.
That's right.
So when you're in a storm, all right now, maybe the Lord is trying to get you to think a little bit differently.
Yeah.
My challenge to you this morning is to help you to do the same thing, to reach beyond ourselves and begin living within the power of God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Amen.
See, I was talking to Sister Sarah this week, and I'm not a hooper.
Come on.
And I'm not a hollerer.
Yes. Preach.
But I have a word.
Yes. Yeah.
And I want it to make sense.
Uh-huh.
And if we're all hooping and hollering and shouting,
uh-huh,
all we did was hoop and holler and shout.
Uh-huh.
Did we learn anything?
Hallelujah.
Did we learn anything that makes us closer to God?
Uh-huh.
Did we learn something that we didn't know before? Did we get something corrected that we had maybe a little bit wrong in our mind?
Yes.
God has planned many great things for us and has great purposes, mm-hmm, for our lives.
Uh-huh.
But we'll never, ever see them accomplished if we don't get out of the boat. We'll never realize our full potential if we stay in the boat. You missed it. We'll never realize our full potential of what God has for us if we never get out of the boat. So my question is, what boat are you in this morning? And see, that's where it gets quiet, because we're all in a boat. We're all in a boat, and who's in the boat with you? What kind of boat are you in? Are you in a boat of depression? Are you in a confused boat? Are you in a boat with low self-esteem and unworthiness? Come on, are you in a boat of turmoil and strife? Are you in an angry boat?
Come on.
What kind of boat are you in? Are you in a boat where you're in charge and can't nobody tell you nothing? What boat are you in this morning? Are you in a boat of addiction, immorality? Are you in a selfish boat? What kind of boat are you in? My question is, are you willing to get out?
Yes.
Come on, so nobody's willing to get out. Are you willing to get out of the boat?
Amen.
I say it all the time. You can't just preach it. You have to live it. You have to get out of the boat. This week I had to get out of my prideful boat.
Preach.
And I had to swallow some stuff.
Preach.
But I never would have been able to get to a point where I could come back and say something to somebody if I didn't get out the boat.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My pastor is here. He used to say, people will own up to a lot of stuff in life.
Yeah.
They'll own up to being a thief. They'll own up to being a murderer. They'll own up to being selfish.
Yeah.
They'll own up to be controlling. But they don't want to own up to being a hypocrite.
Come on.
What boat are you in this morning?
Yes, sir.
What boat?
This is what happened when the disciples were out on the boat. they were being tormented by the waves, and Jesus came walking by.
Uh-huh.
It was time for them to grow in their faith and become an extension of the kingdom of God and the power that it has. See, we're extensions of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We're extensions of the power.
Yeah.
But if we don't get out of the boat, we can't do nothing.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Something began to change in the disciples when they realized it was Jesus walking on the water.
Uh-huh.
And especially Peter. When he saw it was Jesus that was walking on the water, he was challenged to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So what that really means is you've got to know in whom you believe.
Yes, you do.
You've got to know what he can do.
Yes.
You've got to believe in his power.
Yes.
And you should live in a way that when you see the power of God manifesting before your eyes, you shouldn't be scared. You should be challenged.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
They were scared. Mm-hmm. But Peter said, hey, I want to do that too.
Yes.
And we should be the same way.
Yes.
We should want to lay hands on folks and make them well.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Walking around sick and in pain, we should be able to lay hands on folks and let them be healed.
Yes.
The supernatural power of God.
Yes.
It was at that moment that Peter and the other disciples began to realize God's true power.
Uh-huh.
More so with Peter, his faith was challenged to the point where he joined Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Your faith is going to be challenged
to
the point where you should join Jesus. Peter gets out of the boat, and with his eyes on Jesus, he starts walking on the water.
Yes,
he's doing it. He's walking, on the water. Amidst all the wind and the waves. We're talking about waves 9 feet high.
Yeah,
and he's just walking like it's nothing.
Uh-huh.
Don't you know that you can walk through a storm?
Yeah.
See, y'all ain't had no storms. I had some storms. And I stepped in the boat trying to hold on when I should have got out and walked through the storm.
Come on.
The scripture tells us that the storm didn't die down until they got back to the boat.
That's right.
Amen.
So Peter was walking on the water in the midst of the storm.
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh.
And in the midst of your storm, you can too walk on water.
Yeah.
The storm was still raging, and Peter, for just a moment, took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus and looked around at his surroundings.
Come on.
He stopped focusing on Christ, and he started focusing on the waves.
Yeah.
He stopped looking at Jesus, and he started focusing on the way the ship was bouncing back and forth. He stopped focusing on Jesus and realized there was no land that he could see. Come on, he stopped focusing on Jesus, and he saw, and he knew immediately, I cannot swim to any safety.
All right.
He took his eyes off of Jesus.
Yeah.
And as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to drown. See, the Bible, we say he sank. No, he didn't sink. When he took his eyes off Jesus, the storm took him over.
Yeah.
If you take your eyes off of Jesus in the midst of your storm will win.
Yeah.
He forgot about Jesus' miracle that had just happened.
Yeah.
Wasn't thinking about that at all.
Come on.
All he was thinking about was, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Got myself out here trying to walk on water. Now what?
Now what?
The moment his faith wavered, he began to sink. Do you know that the moment that your faith wavers, you will begin to sink?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
See, when there's money in the bank and there's food on the table,
that's right,
and a paycheck coming, it's easy to stay focused on God.
Come on, man.
It's easy to get up and say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up in a warm house and you take a warm shower, and then you go into your refrigerator and pick what you want to eat and cook it up and make a good breakfast.
Come on.
Go in your closet and decide what you're going to wear. Am I the only one that can do that? Y'all can do that. You decide what hat am I going to put on today. Am I going to wear white? Am I going to wear purple? I wore this hat last week, so I can't wear it this week. So you get to choose what you want to wear. It's easy.
Yeah.
Focus on God.
Yes.
But what happens when your bank account is refrigerator ain't nothing in there but hot dogs and hot sauce.
Come on.
What happens when you have to hire a lawyer to get your kid out of trouble?
That's right. Come on, talk to us.
What happens when instead of driving, come on now, what happens when you drive past the bar?
Come on.
Turn around and go back.
Come on now.
And find yourself in a situation.
Yeah.
What happens then?
What happens?
We look at the empty bank account. We look at the bare table. We look at our situation.
Yeah.
And we take our focus completely off of God.
Yeah.
We get in the boat and we hunker down and we put on a life vest.
Yeah.
Which will do nothing when a 9-foot wave comes to overtake you.
Yeah.
A life vest will do nothing when a 9-foot wave comes crashing at your face. We take our eyes off and we sink. When we take our eyes off of him, we fall short.
Yes, sir.
When we fall short, we fall short of the glory.
Yes.
When we fall short of the glory, that means we miss the blessing.
We miss it.
When we miss the blessing, it means we didn't get everything that God had for us. And that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just a second. And then cry out, Lord.
Save me.
Isn't that what we do?
Come on.
We know what he can do.
Yeah.
Our storms rise and we forget all about it.
Yeah.
We start sinking down and then we call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Had we just focused in the first place.
Yeah.
Lord, save me.
Save me.
If we only had a childlike faith, that's all it really takes. A pure faith in God. And a relationship that is so close that we never lose sight. I'll never forget, years ago, I was in a shelter in Bethlehem working with some folks, and there was a young girl. She was probably about this old. And she came over to me, and I said, sweetheart, is there anything that you need? And she said, no. And I thought, geez, well, you know, she probably doesn't know what she needs. And I said, are you here to get some food? You know, and she said, yeah, but we don't have anywhere to put it. And I asked her, what happened? She said, our refrigerator is broken. I said, well, we'll have to see what we can do. She said, no, it's okay. Just give us the food. Now, she's talking for her parents.
All right.
So I talked to intelligent folks. So I'm talking to the kid because they ain't saying nothing.
Uh-huh.
So I said, well, if we give you the food, it's going to spoil. And then you'll be back. I said, so, we don't want to waste the food. She said, no, I asked God to send my mom and dad a new refrigerator.
All right.
So I know it's going to happen.
All right.
That is a childlike faith.
Yeah.
See, we ask the Lord for a refrigerator, then we go around trying to figure out how we're going to get one.
Yeah.
Childlike faith is all it takes. By the way, there was a refrigerator delivered to that house before the food got there.
Wow.
I made a phone call and found out that a phone call had already been made and it was already on the way. A childlike Peter's faith was renewed when he put his eyes back on Christ. Christ took him by the hand and helped him back on top of the water.
Right.
He didn't simply say, get up. He didn't say, well, you're not doing anything to help yourself, so I'm not going to help you. The Bible doesn't say that. Amen.
Right.
It says that he reached down and he took his hand and he pulled him up.
Yeah.
That's a lesson to us.
Hallelujah.
He didn't pick him up and carry him either.
Come on.
We see, we read that footprints all the time.
Uh-huh.
And you only see one set of prints. That's when I carry him. And that's cute. It's not biblical. It's cute. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't pick him up and carry him.
He picked
him up and said, come on, let's get back into the boat.
Yeah.
And they both walked through the storm because the storm didn't stop. You're going to miss it. The storm didn't stop when he picked him up.
That's right. Come on.
See, Jesus met him in the midst of his storm.
Yes.
And the storm didn't stop when Jesus met him.
Right.
He picked him up. And walked with him through the storm. See, that's a message for somebody. See, we paint and we expect Jesus to show up and everything is supposed to quiet down. No, he simply showed up so he could walk with you through the storm. So if you're in the midst of the storm, don't wait for it to end. Just wait for Jesus to show up. Oh, and he gets there and he puts Keep your eye on Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And if you start to sink, know that he will. Pick you up.
Yes, he
will. He'll turn you around.
Yes, he will.
And he'll walk right beside you.
Yes.
All the way.
Yes.
If the Apostle Peter's faith hadn't been challenged that day, and if it had not reached beyond itself, Peter might have never gotten out of the boat.
Yes.
And if he had never gotten out of the boat,
come on,
he never would have had a divine experience of the power of God.
That's right.
He would have never went on to probably be the founder of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's faith was challenged, and at times our faith is challenged.
Yes.
And when it is, two things are going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Either you're going to stay in the boat,
uh-huh,
or you're going to get out of the boat.
That's it.
Getting out of the boat is the kind of tenacity that God is looking for.
Yeah.
He, if they had been holding on in the boat, mm-hmm, he might have just watched them for a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But got out of the boat.
Got out.
And Jesus said, well, his faith was enough,
uh-huh,
to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
I best go see about it.
Yeah.
He missed that. And when Peter began to sink, he knew that he could call on the one who was walking on the water.
Yeah.
Being tenacious in faith means having a firm hold on something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because Peter got out of the boat that day, and because Peter called upon Christ to save him, he was able to go on and do all of the things that God had put in him to do.
Yeah.
But he had to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
If you don't get out of your boat this morning, you will never do all of the things that God has put down in you to do.
Yeah.
Get out of the boat.
Yeah.
Just get out of the boat.
Yeah.
It's simple. Get out of the boat.
Yeah.
Get out of the boat and chalk through your storm.
Yeah.
Get out of the boat. It doesn't matter what the boat is, drugs, alcohol, the things that plague Christians more than other folks, drugs, alcohol, and porn.
Come on.
Be real this morning. Those three things right there, they're all through the church.
Yeah.
Because we won't get out the boat.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Quiet. That's all right.
Hallelujah.
He was able to go and oversee the beginning of the church because he got out of the boat. He was able to get up and preach a message after the Holy Spirit came upon him the first time that resulted in 3,000 people being saved at one time because he got out of the boat.
Got out of the boat.
He was able to go on and minister to the needs of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to see people healed and able to grow the church simply because he got out of the boat. Will you get out of the boat this morning?
Yeah.
And nobody's going to get out of the boat but you and me.
Yeah.
Will you get out of it this morning?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
You can be in a boat of stubbornness.
Yeah.
You know, you can be your own stumbling block. We are our own stumbling block.
Yeah.
We blame it on the Lord, but he's out walking on the water and we're in the boat.
Yeah.
I want to be with the guy walking on the water.
Yeah.
Not to the people hanging on for dear life on the boat.
Come
see
on.
Y'all, I'm going with the man who made the water.
Come on.
Tenacious faith means that we believe that nothing is impossible for God.
That's right.
It means
that
we can
right.
say to a mountain, be removed, and it's removed.
That's right.
If we're going to be led by God, we need to have a tenacious faith. But what does it look like besides a man jumping out of a boat and walking on the water with Jesus?
Come on.
The only true way in which faith can be seen is in the actions
uh-huh.
of the faithful.
Yes.
James wrote, faith without action is useless.
That's yes. right. Come on.
So you can have faith that you can walk on water.
Yes.
But if you don't get out of the boat,
uh-huh.
it's useless faith.
Useless.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I've been preaching to you since July about being useful
come on.
To the kingdom.
Yeah.
Can't be useful in a boat. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
When you're in your storm, get out of the boat.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
I said it before, when you're in your storm, get out of the boat.
Yeah.
I'm done. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you start to sink, know that he'll pick you up.
Yeah.
You know what folks say, he'll pick you up.
Yeah.
He'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on solid ground. Whatever it is, get out of the boat. The songwriter said, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll.
Yeah.
I felt sins break. trying to conquer my soul. And I heard the voice of Jesus say, Tim, still fight on. Because he promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Do you know that this morning the world's fierce winds are blowing? Temptations are sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when my earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Get out of the boat this morning. When in affliction valley, I'm treading the road of care. My Savior helps me to carry my cross when it's heavy to bear. My feet are entangled with briars and ready to cast me down. And my Savior whispered his promise never to leave me alone. Get out of the boat this morning. Are you hearing me? He died for me on a mountain. And for me and you, they pierced his side. For he opened up that fountain, that crimson cleansing tide. For he waits for me in glory, seated upon his throne. For he promised never to leave me. Never, ever, ever, ever to leave me alone. Are you in a boat this morning? Tell the truth. Are you in a boat this morning? Are you in a boat? Your church pew can be a boat. If you come and you sit and you do nothing, you're in a boat. I encourage you this morning, whatever your boat is, get up out of that boat right now. I don't know about you, but I don't want a church full of people sitting on a boat.
Come on.
Unless we're going on a cruise.
Yes, sir.
Get out of the boat this morning. Walk. Walk in the newness of God. And I said it before, the Lord is not concerned with what you have done. It doesn't matter what boat you're going to get out of. It doesn't matter how you got into that boat. The Lord is not concerned with that stuff. He is concerned with your soul and what you are doing right now. Whatever it is, you are worthy of the promises of God. You're worthy of the kingdom. Amen. Get out of the boat this morning.
Hallelujah.
He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone.
Hallelujah.
Every time the Bible references the sea, you don't ever hear of it being nice and calm.
Come on now.
It's always stormy.
Stormy.
There's always a choppy sea. Because that's what life is.
They
used to say life is not a flowery bed of ease.
Right.
In everybody's life, some rain must fall. Amen.
Yeah.
But when the rain's over,
that's
when you reap your harvest.
Yes, sir.
You can plant a whole bunch of stuff, but if it don't rain, nothing's going to grow.
Come on.
If nothing grows, there's nothing to harvest.
Come on.
And if you don't harvest nothing, it's because you haven't planted anything.
Come on.
All right, now. I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've seen the day breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me, telling you, get out of the boat.
Fight on.
Get out of the boat and fight on. Because I'll never, ever leave you. I'll never leave you alone. The doors of the church are open. Hallelujah. God is good. See, because you don't know what was in my boat. If you knew what was in my boat, hey, somebody, you'd be shouting all over this place.
Come on. Thank you.
Is there one this morning that is willing to get out of the boat? If so, you come at this time. Come and let us pray for you. But you've got to get out of the boat. Amen?
Yeah.
You've got to get out of the boat. Come. Come to the altar and give your life to Christ. I see you, my brother.
Yeah.
And see, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
See, we did this. But right now, heaven is rejoicing.
Yeah.
And we can do better than that. Give God some praise. Amen. Thank you. said it before, and I'll say it again. And if y'all want to put it on my headstone, go ahead. This doesn't make me a preacher. A dashiki doesn't make me an African. If it doesn't, you can dress up anything. But it's what do you do? And how do you walk? And when you stumble, what do you do? You know, what do you do when you get back up? And sometimes we have to be careful of how we talk to folks and what we say and whether we're right or not. And sometimes as Christians we make a statement and then we jump behind the Bible because it's correct. But it doesn't mean that we deliver it correctly. Amen? And, you know, I can't be up here Sunday after Sunday telling folks to get out of the boat if I don't get out of the boat with you. Amen? And you can't be telling folks that God is good and we need to be kind to people and we need to portray the love of Christ if I'm not doing it. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm going to put it out there. I said something to somebody that was correct. But in the manner in which I said it caused hurt.
And
it caused a serious hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I met with them and they're like family to me. We worked our way through it, but sometimes you have to do things publicly. And I just have to say this to my brother. That's my brother.
Yeah.
He's not my blood brother, but he's like my blood brother.
Yeah.
And I said something to him a week ago and jumped behind the Bible. And hurt his feelings. And I want you to know that I'm not ashamed to publicly say that I'm sorry to you.
Amen.
And I love you like my family. And so, you know, we're not rehashing. It's already done. But I, you know, sometimes you just have to fess up to some stuff.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When I tell you to hold on, it's because I'm holding on too.
Yeah.
So I love you. Just keep doing what you do. And you'll get it by osmosis. All hearts and minds clear.
Hearts and minds clear.
This is what you give us a benediction.
Get something.